Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week, we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, Adar avoided looking at the bodies of the men he killed while he passed by them. I wouldn't have handled that half so easily without a blaster. He couldn't remember the last time he had killed a man without taking a scratch, and here he'd taken down three without most of them getting close enough to swing a sword at him. When they arrived at the intersecting alleyway, Adar was ready in case the last man was waiting in ambush, but the way was clear. He had a feeling he should have chased down the man. Isaac would probably be examining the body of his dead brother when the escaped man showed up to report he had had contact with Adar and Kira. Bloody burning Melia, Adar thought, as he picked up speed and was glad to see Kira did not have any trouble keeping up with him. Why in the nine burning hells did I get mixed up in this? And now? Chapter 10. The sun peeked out of the clouds and Adar relished the feel of it on his face. His clothes were soaked through, and he was chilled to the bone. He kept moving his wrists and alternating which hand held the blaster so that he didn't become too stiff to respond to new threats. It did not help matters that he was tired and starving. He stumbled on a loose cobblestone and almost lost control. He was forced to skid to a stop. The encounter with Isaac's men still had his heart pounding in his chest. The deadly efficiency of killing and wounding multiple men with one blast made him wonder again how things would change if the use of blasters became widespread. Melia, he thought. The only chance we have of making it through all this is to arm everybody that can handle one of these infernal weapons. What would happen afterward once the Hunway had been dealt with? He snorted. Even though he pretty much knew this was mankind's last hurrah, he could not help but hope that this was not the end. Hope. Even in the face of insurmountable odds, was the one thing that kept him going. Things could change. The darkest night always had a sunrise, and that was why he needed the tablet. The forgotten weapons of their fathers brought hope. As Adar and Kira drew closer to the arches, he noticed without surprise the dead tended to be men. Every now and then he stumbled across a woman. Most of them Kira passed without comment, but there had been several where she had stopped, forgetting the dangers that lurked all about them. It had been a struggle for Adar to not say something that he would later regret, but his patience was stretched to the limit. Enough time had passed that the lone survivor from their encounter before would have found Isaac. Terra could be half a continent away by now. Arrow might come charging at him again like a wild man, determined to kill or die trying. Adar gritted his teeth, furious that so many different things were all going on at once. On any given day, handling one of these issues would have been plenty, but to have all of them forced upon him in the same hour? He must have done something to piss off one of the gods. Or perhaps they were testing him to see if he would be worthy to handle an even worse task. Hurry, Adar said, glancing back over his shoulder. Kira's eyes were red as she gripped her blaster in an almost challenging way. The plan was to show her the entrance of the arches. She could collect the people she was worried about, and then they would leave. He had not explained much about the arches other than to say it was a hidden passageway out of the city. Saying more than that would have just scared her off, and he didn't like the thought of what Isaac's men might do to her if they did catch up with her. "We've wasted enough time as it is," Adar said again when she didn't move. "The Hunway are still up there." Kira gritted her teeth but did not say anything. She gave him a look that said he was stating the obvious. Well, he wouldn't need to if she would move faster. When Adar focused his attention back to where he was going, he got the idea that if he were to look back again, she would be pointing her blaster at his back. He refrained from doing so and increased his speed. When he spotted the lifeless body of a small child, he ground his teeth and fingered the trigger of his blaster, itching to come across a living Hunway or a turncoat just so that he could punish somebody for bringing this tear down onto them. Melia, he thought, as he passed the small body. Even Isaac or one of his men would do. I've no doubt they deserve it. A muffled shriek came from behind, and he slid to a stop. That's Donnie's child, Kira whispered in horror, covering her mouth as she bent over the form. She took off her coat and moved to wrap it around the babe. He is dead. Adar hoped he would have done the same thing if it had been the son of somebody he knew. She gave him a sharp look through her tears. I'm sorry. I'm not leaving him in the rain. His body needs to be taken care of. God's. Her voice choked as she touched his neck. Donnie would never have left him. Bloody Melia, he's still warm. The gods help anybody I learn of having a hand in this. When she picked the baby up, he jerked, a loud scream belting out of his mouth. Lars, you're alive! Despite his relief that the kid had survived, Adar looked around as he swung his blaster up, anxious that the crying was going to draw the attention of one of the parties that were hunting him. Even still, the cries were welcome sounds. I'd rather have a whole army of Hunwe chasing after me, he thought, than find any more dead children. The world was not as cold and unforgiving of a place as it had been a moment ago. A fat drop of rain hit Adar in the eye as a peal of thunder rolled across the sky. The sudden sound made the poor little guy cry all the harder. Kira held him close to her chest while she made soothing sounds. It didn't help. Lars opened his mouth wide and let out a scream. The screams would have been the best sounds Adar had heard all day if they weren't being hunted from every direction. The gods were indeed testing Adar. What new challenge should he expect next? He looked up, expecting to see half a dozen Hunwe ships appearing overhead, but saw nothing other than gray clouds and rain. He had been itching for a chance to see what kind of damage a blaster would do to a ship at close range, but with a screaming baby in tow, he was glad the moment had not yet come. Because he hadn't seen a flash of lightning, he compared the thunder to his hazy memory of the explosions from the invasion. It was hard to tell, but after several seconds passed during which nothing else happened, he became convinced that it was actual thunder and nothing else. That did not mean that the Hunwe weren't still up there taking advantage of the low-hanging clouds. He would keep an eye out for them. Hunwe above and foes at every turn below. They would be lucky to live through the next hour. Lars let out a blood-curdling scream as his lips vibrated. His eyes shut so tight his face turned bright red. It would be a miracle if they survived the next 10 minutes. Adar, Kira hissed. Stop gaping at the sky. He needs shelter, and we need a safe place. Come on, Adar said. This way. When we get to the arches, we'll find somebody to take care of him so you can fetch your family. I'll be looking for Donnie now, as well. Adar ground his teeth but kept his mouth shut. He couldn't very well begrudge her that, but he had a feeling things weren't going to be getting any easier. As they ran, he pictured Hunwe up in their ships frantically trying to figure out what had happened to their comrades below, and a small thin smile crossed his face. It disappeared when he passed the corpse of a woman that looked as though she had been trampled to death. Kira passed without stopping, so it must have been somebody she didn't know. Bloody Melia, he thought, I have stumbled into a wasp nest that has been dunked in honey, rolled in sugar, and thrown into a pit of bears. And a dozen feral cats and dogs have been thrown in for good measure while the eagles circle overhead. New opportunities to die, and the bodies of the dead greet me at every turn. It was indeed going to take a miracle to get out of all of this alive. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com. and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.